Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here. I'm the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, wow, a lot of stuff going on. I think I've never seen you have so many meetings going down back to back to back to back.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, and then today, after we're done about 1 o'clock, we're heading over to the HyperX once again. We're going to be plugging in the cords and trying to make sure the audio and sound. Crazy thought, doing it in advance,
right?
To make sure, because there's some different things that we're going to be doing. So with commentary being so far from the production, I don't know if there's cables, 200-foot cables for the mics, So right. I think they have a wireless system that we're going to check to make sure we could do for the live stream on Title Match. And, Mikey will be there, and Rocky's looking for where we got to set everything up. And Ice wants to come by and check out everything. And, hopefully we can get some things set up. So it's not only that, but it's like locking in the stuff for Mania Week. Right. And it's, everything obviously is contingent on, us delivering on the 24th, which, we've never had an issue with any place we've ever done any shows. So we don't foresee that. But, they have to see, what we bring to the table. I want to get that contract in hand because, you never know. And, that's a concern. We were just able to secure the WWE ID show again, the showcase, and they were very excited. So they were good with us doing that, but we're also looking into the Wednesday and Thursday, and I got a lot of the venues, a lot of the companies who are using our venue, wanting to do the show there. Obviously it's going to be a little bit more money, but we haven't even negotiated that with the HyperX. So there's so many moving parts when it comes to that. And then we got word when I met last week that What Culture Wrestling, who I guess has over 2 million followers on YouTube, and I guess they're a really big deal, they're going to be at the HyperX Friday Mania weekend, and they're going to be doing a podcast, and they're going to be doing a SmackDown watch party. So that's going to take up most of Friday. So it doesn't allow us to run multiple shows, but we're looking at doing something with Richard Holiday and bringing in almost like a Mecca meets what Richard's been doing back east, the narcissistic behavior. Yep. So that would be like about a 9 or 10 p.m. start after What Culture Wrestling's done with on the Friday. So now the Thursday, we have the ID show pretty much set. It's not 100%, even though I put the flyer out. We talked. Everything was good, but we need to get that verified. Title Match Network, who we work with now, they have their own promotion, a women's promotion, that are scheduled to be at Full Tilt at 11 p.m.-ish on that Thursday night. And obviously, they would love to be at the Luxor. So we are trying to put everything in place and, seeing about a Saturday at noon show that we know would be successful, or a Sunday at noon, because initially it was like, hey, we're not going to be able to do anything the weekend, meaning the Saturday and Sunday, the days of. And it's like, why not? Like, how does it affect the Luxor that there's a WrestleMania? We're not running during WrestleMania. And if people want to come to your casino, Why would you not be interested in making money from the wrestling fans that are going to be around all week? Make your place the staple of that facility. So, as of now, everything scheduled for Wednesday at our place is still going to happen. And we don't even know if we're going to have Wednesday at the HyperX. I just know we have what's going on Friday and what's going on Thursday. And yesterday I met, had a Zoom meeting with the guys from the San Diego Seals lacrosse team, which I heard even better news was not only do they own the lacrosse team in San Diego, they also own the Desert Dogs.
So that's Gretzky's group too? Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what Gretzky, you know, a lot of times when they say he's the owner,
right?
You know, kind of like Planet Hollywood was owned by Schwarzenegger and right. Bruce Willis and that crew. Man, they weren't really owned by it. So whatever it is. So the guy from this guy, Adam from the San Diego Seals. So we were talking about different things and about names that we're looking to bring in. And D'Lo Brown's name came up and he talked about how when he was in Colorado, he did something for one of the teams there. And Rocky Mountain Pro, who we've worked with. So there's a good opportunity because I had brought up about what we're doing with the Silver Knights, who I had to talk to earlier in the day and set everything up there for the April 10th. But we were looking to do something similar to what we're doing in San Diego in March over at the Lee's Family Forum. But now we already got the in because as long as everything goes well for the San Diego gig, we now have the opportunity to bring it to Vegas. And, right. You know, we just locked in. So here's the list. You want to talk about some beef in the Rumble in San Diego. So we got Hammerstone. We got Graves. We have Class. We have Devin Reno. We have Ice Williams confirmed. And then yesterday I got Bad Dude Tito and Che Cabrera confirmed. Nice. And he's not confirmed yet, but we're about to lock him in. Former WWE superstar Chris Masters, who we love, is, you know, set to be there. So, nice. You know, we're working on some bigger names, the D'Lo's and the John Morrisons. And so this is going to be one of the biggest rumbles in our history, you know. Yeah. So, man, I'd love to do that a few months later. You know, in Vegas,
right,
for our fans, because, you know, that's more of a full blown event, while the one at the Silver Knights game in April is going to be after the first and second intermission. They've expanded our time, so okay. There won't be any. Not only will Mariachi Montana's friends will not be playing there that day, so they won't be having the mariachi band. They're giving us the whole allotted 15 minutes. To do some stuff. So, you know, we're discussing some really cool things to do. So it's just like, you got that and you got the San Diego thing, and we got the HyperX show in less than 2 weeks. Now we're like 9 days away. And yeah. Then we have, you know, hopefully again in March, and then we got Mania week, and it's like, then the anniversary is going to hit again. And it's like, man, it's just amazing, you know, yeah. What we're looking at. We got the Hard Rock Cafe. We got the watch party for Saturday and Sunday. The Godfather's locked in for Saturday. And again, always have me a little nervous. I messaged my guy and I haven't heard back from the Hard Rock guy. And it was like, other than, you know, a couple months ago that we locked in the dates, it's like, let's get going, bro. You know, we're now less than 3 months away.
Yeah, which is insane. You know, just that countdown clock is going faster and faster. It's crazy, like, you know, to think that we are pretty much halfway done with January right now.
Yeah, you know, we were talking, it was November, and now all of a sudden it's the middle of January.
Yeah.
And then we've moved No Escape to now March 8th, and, right. You know, we're locking in that. So obviously a lot of things that occur next week at the New Year's resolution might have to be resolved at No Escape.
Sure. So you just contradicted the whole idea of the New Year's resolution by saying that at the resolution there will still things that need to be resolved.
It's professional wrestling, you know. Is anything really final? You know what I mean? It's like, But shout out to my guy, Drew McIntyre. Finally, after losing 136 consecutive matches for the title, they finally decided that the 137th would be the magic one, and he's got the championship.
Yeah, yeah, which is nice to see. There's also a huge rumbling, shall I use the term, that in Saudi Arabia, we might see the return of Scarlett and Cross at the Rumble.
Oh, is that a rumbling?
Yeah.
I have not seen that one. We're trying to lock in Cross for us, so hopefully,
Well, logic says that if you're pursuing to lock Cross in, most likely he's going to end up on that show and with a contract with him.
I know he was hesitant to commit to anything. So, one half of my main event with Matt Cardona has gone by the wayside. So,
right.
And why not finalize it all?
And I'm sure that amongst the listeners and the WWE to this program, someone was like, hey, Cardona versus Cross, you know what? It'd be a great match to run up here on the.
Well, it was kind of like when we're looking to do in the Lee's Family Forum, and I ran into Devon Dudley, and I was pitching the Hardys versus the Dudleys one last time. And then, of course, it got put out in the universe, and TNA scooped it up.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I've been seeing that it's supposedly a done deal. Another former FSW alumni looks to be going to WWE after his run in AEW. Will Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs, they're saying he's going to be headed that way. So,
yeah, and hopefully, yeah, I hope so. Will is one of those guys that I think we all feel has all this potential, all this upside to him, and had ridden the roller coaster at AEW of, going up, 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 down, 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 up, up, up.
Yeah,
down, down.
They're good for that. I'll tell you that, whether it was Wardlow, who, again, we haven't seen forever, but I guess he got hurt after they brought him back. But it was like, man, here's a guy that you made into a star. Nobody knew who Wardlow was. AEW created a homegrown superstar that at one point that it's like, if he became the heavyweight champion, people would have bought into it. And then all of a sudden, he just disappeared from the television.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing with so much talent that they have, but so many of those guys just fall by the wayside and they just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, to see that. You also have all the speculation around Jericho coming back. Someone who's done a little bit, just a little bit for FSW in the past. It's interesting to see. Also be nice and interesting to see if Matt Hardy would ever show back up for you. And
well, hey, we may have an opportunity, an old friend, we worked with in Phoenix, Mike Wilbanks. He's in South Carolina, and he's looking to restart. He's got, he's got the ring. He's got all the equipment, and he has made some inquiries about FSW South Carolina. Matt couldn't have an excuse to not make that trip. That's a short journey for him. So, yeah. We got to have, hey, look at that, the Magician's Room. It's got the Shocker on it on Channel 5. A big friend of the wrestling community that I swear it's Seth Rogen with a long blonde wig, because if you listen to that guy, the Shocker, you swear Seth Rogen's talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't they do a few things that they filmed at FSW too with
he worked with Sin Bodhi. I know they did some stuff when Penn and Teller they came in, and I have it on good authority because I actually heard him speak. So yeah. Teller does speak.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, they still owe me a free Penn and Teller show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because we let him use the facility, and you know, he said, "Oh, anytime." And then, you know, time always passes. So much is going on. It's like, oh, I'm gonna have to hit him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Take the opportunity, because you know, still one of the most consistently entertaining shows in town, for sure.
Yeah, and if you know, helping keep the Rio afloat.
Yeah. Yeah, which is hysterical because they're under contract to Caesars, and you know, the Rio, you know, and Caesars came up with an agreement. So I wonder what Caesars' cut is on the back end of that to, you know, to keep them at the Rio for now.
Well, you know, we've seen with all the closures of the casinos and Trop and all these things that have been going on, man. You know, Chippendales have been around forever. The MJ Live, they're all bouncing around, man. Yeah. You know, even the other one with the puppet that won America's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah, Terry Fader.
Yeah, you know, he went. It was like I ended up seeing him through, like, the house seats, and it was at the Strat. And to me, it was just like, man, like, what a downsize from, like, his own room in the Mirage or whatever it was.
Yeah.
To, you know, playing in front of 150 house seaters at the Strat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I saw he's doing some stuff at like the South Point. So, which is an upgrade, because that place has, you know, that place is always packed.
Oh, yeah. 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 They've always, you know, it's amazing how much business that place does.
Yeah. Michael Libinati runs that, the Dirty at 12:30 or whatever it is. Yep. Which he's done for years. Huge wrestling fan, but we were just never able to, like, they just didn't have the venue. Like, we had talked about one time doing something with Mick Foley because they did the comedy and things like that. But it was Mania Week, about doing something in that room. But it was like there was no place for the ring other than on that big stage. Yeah. Because of the way the seating was done. And it was just really, really awkward. And then it became, the equestrian place, but then they want like $9,000 for that one. So, but the only place was that room where, you know, Rob Schneider plays all the time and all the comedians. But yeah, he's a huge fan, because he ended up hooking us up with somebody who did a podcast, and I had Matt Hardy on it one time. We had a drive somewhere, and Chris Masters did it. And that was through Libinati. So, but I always talk to him every once in a while, see what's going on, seeing if anything's changed, because, you know, and especially now with Mania being in Vegas and now companies actually embracing wrestling instead of shitting all over it. So,
yeah, which is definitely a huge upswing of, you know, seeing. Once again, when wrestling is at its peak, man, everyone wants a piece of it, which is amazing.
Yeah, people wanting money.
Well, you know, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yesterday we did our TV class. It's funny how when we have regular training with Kenny King, you know, we have a decent turnout or whatever. There was literally probably over 30 people on hand.
Yeah, we saw that picture that was posted, and it was like,
Tom's got to post a picture of himself in the ring,
right?
You know? But it was everybody was lined up, and Kenny was smart. He did a few drills before we got things did, so they can kind of roll around a little bit. But we had, you know, regular FSW roster people. Like the Mariachis and, you know, Fox Valentine and AJ Avon. And, you know, there was, you know, people around, you know, Chris Bay and Kenny King helped run it. Spider kind of, produced and directed it. So, you know, put the matches together. He put segments. You know, it's a great opportunity for the younger kids, you know, had some ref spots, some people looking to be a manager. Najee came in, a guy who was like, I guess, famous for being always at NXT. When he ended up leaving Orlando, they basically gave him a sending off party. That's how much he was there and liked by them. And he did some commentary. So it's like, if you want to sign up to be a wrestler or a manager and stuff, we have classes for that. But it's always been difficult for us, like people who want to be a ring announcer and people who want to be commentators. Can't really have classes for that other than, especially ring announcing. You have right. to do it. That's all you can do is do it. Commentary, yeah, you can practice it. We can go in the office, go through the archives of matches, and hey, we're going to do a match. And we sit there for an hour or so, and we do 90 minutes. You know, we do 60 minutes of commentary, we record it, and then we can go back and I can, you know, critique and talk about, you know, what you need to do and stuff like that. So with the TV class, it gives somebody that opportunity, because we probably did about, I believe, 6 matches yesterday. And all of a sudden, you know, hey, guys, how about you listen? When we post it on the student page, if you're going to be there, Spider asks you, say, I'm going to be there. Instead of just showing up that day, and now he's trying to get people who we want to get spots. You know, right. it's like, here, you know, San Lu Hero's there. And it's like, well, Warren Moore's there. Well, Warren's got to get a match way before Hero, because Hero's had a bunch of matches. He's on our main roster. But we're trying to get him to be there. And, of course, so they did a triple threat. And, you know, Warren, who is a long way away from working a San Lu, gets to work in there and get to work with experienced veterans as they prepare and try to get, you know, their feet wet at Future Shock, which we right. just did last week, where thanks to Dave Mazzani and C4, they sold 53 tickets, amongst them 55 tickets, and we had a packed house. You know, for a family and friends show, that show had more people than I think even the Halloween show, which was packed. So, you know, great opportunity for a lot of people. And we're doing another one January 31st, so the week after, because it's basically a totally different show. You know, family and friends, and it's basically invite only, and we still can pack the place. So,
yeah, which is great. You know, it's wonderful to see that the excitement is, you know, filtering into Future Shocks, where, you know, in the past, sometimes, you know, that's a hard show to get people to, especially if, you know, the people in class are not really active in trying to get people there, which, you know, that's a big factor. And it's nice to see people coming out and supporting and new faces and people who might become fans just because of the fact their friend is taking a class.
Right. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, a lot of the family and friends are coming strictly to support, you know, but some were, hey, are you a wrestling fan? Not anymore. I used to watch it. And everybody knows The Rock, and everybody knows Steve Austin or John Cena. But a lot of them, like I did, but we all leave it for a while. And then there's some that never come back. And then there's a bunch that, you know, somehow gravitate back toward wrestling. And with that show, we've seen some people who hadn't been to a wrestling show ever. You know, they used to watch it back in the day. Now they come to the show because they enjoyed what they saw. And it's a totally different atmosphere when you're right on top of things and the wrestling's 20 feet away from you. And you get to meet the people. And, you know, in most cases, you know, we try to have good people working on our show, not only good wrestlers, and they're pretty friendly, and they're appreciative to know that the reason we run so often is because we have a good amount of people who come to the shows, and it's not much fun wrestling in front of 9 people.
Right.
You know, so, you know, trying to make new fans, trying to get kids from the kids class, it's like, hey, why don't you check out the show? You know, supposedly you signed up for the kid class because you love wrestling. So wouldn't you want to come to a wrestling show? You would think, because that's what got him in. And for some people came to the show and that's how they found out about the kids class. So, you know, hopefully with doing things at the Luxor and being on the strip, you know, maybe we can get a better reach.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, the honest answer too is that, there comes a lot more exposure, a lot more, you know, notoriety for the fact that you can point to that casino as opposed to, you know, some of the off-strip casinos. It's, you know, it's a little different because you can get these people coming through town and all of a sudden going, oh, wow, wrestling show. Cool. So, yeah, that's
you know, and it's right. You know, a lot of times you get places and you have to go to the ballroom where you're going on the second or third floor. Like,
right.
They have the place, the public house, where the food that we're going to be serving is going to be coming from. And you're going right there. But the HyperX Arena is basically right next to the registration area. Right. And people are going to see this HyperX Arena if they're going to the steakhouse, if they're going to play in the play slots or video poker, they're going to walk past it. And Mikey did a tremendous video. I got my guy, the legend, John Lindquist, who I worked with back in the day when I did my radio show. And, you know, we bring him in for those special voiceovers, man. That guy's got the you want to talk about the velvet voice right there. You know, that guy is fantastic. And it's funny because, you know, I gave him a script based off the commercial, but it wasn't really based off the commercial. And then Mikey kind of retweaked it afterwards and moved the audio from John to basically make it fit for everything he did. And then he actually added a couple of little things. So it's like, it sounds tremendous. So that's good for everybody on social media, but it looks tremendous. But that's what people are going to see when they're walking past that huge HyperX Arena where they have the screen in the front. And anybody who comes that's into gaming or whatever is going to see it rotated through their system. So, you know, different, obviously, than at the Silverton where it's the screen when you're driving or you're on Blue Diamond. You know, obviously, if you're on Blue Diamond and you see it, you're going to get a better view of it. Right. But when you're on the highway, you may get a glance of it, but you're probably talking 20, 50,000 cars a day that are going back and forth that, you know, every 2 minutes, you're going to see this 30, you know, maybe every 5 minutes, but it's a 45-second video. So, you know. And that's the key of getting it up early, as we always say, because, you know, if you go to work 7 days and two of them you're off, now you only have 5 shots to see it. But now there's 20 shots if it's up for a month. So, you know, trying to get that exposure and get that out there, it's like, you know, people are like,
It's also a reminder too, right? Because you might see it, you know, 3 weeks out, and then you might see it the week before or the week of, you know, so
so it's like, you know, that's that to me is what we're paying for. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we're paying for the room, but what are we getting besides the room? And that's the one thing that I always have to try to remember with the Silverton is like, you know, if I wanted to rent that billboard for 30 days, it would cost me more than what the room is doing.
Right.
Because everything's digital now. So it ain't like the old days where you would have to pay and you would be up there and that would be it. Now there's that rotation. So you're able to get it at a better price. You're just not on as often. Right. And a lot of them run like, you know, 90 seconds. So they run 9 spots at 10 seconds a spot or whatever, you know. So those ones have to be short. At the Silverton, they'll give us 30, 40 seconds.
Right.
And chop it up. So.
Yeah. Well, man, New Year's resolution, like you said, it's coming up quick, 9 days away on the 24th there at the HyperX Arena, 7 p.m., of course. And, of course, Title Match Network, you can catch
it. Yeah, doors are going to open extremely early. Instead of 6, we're going to open at 5:30. You know, you can get in there, maybe even 5 if you want to do some gaming and things like that, because they'll have that, the lounge, they'll have things open. So, you know, you can get in there. Please, if you're going to eat inside the arena, you know, help our numbers look good, because if our numbers look good, man, you know, this can be, you know, way more permanent. And, you know, we really like the place. We, you know, the people we've dealt with there. And it's funny because, you know, we don't have their in-house production per se, because it's very costly, but they're still really helpful. And then, even though they're not getting a payday, you know, they're answering questions. They're, you know, they're the little stuff that they can do. You know, a few of them are going to be there without even being paid for there. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they want it to succeed. And if we do really good numbers, then we can have the on-site lighting guy instead of the, hey, let's just set the lights up. See you later. Thanks for coming. Goodbye.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's been a while since Samstown. So, you know, I think the fans got to remember that, you know, take advantage of the food and beverage, because that is the reason that you're able to do a venue like this, you know?
Yeah, you know, no doubt. And we had, you know, a $3,000 food and drink guarantee, and we would hit it 90% of the time, you know. And if we didn't, it was like $2,700, $2,800. And, you know, even with Samstown, a lot of times the shows were on Sundays.
Right.
Because of the cost. These guys, you know, you all want to go out on a Friday and Saturday night. So, man, this is even better than we could have asked for. And it's like, to them, it was no difference. If you guys wanted Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, let us know. You know, we're trying to, you know, doing things. I'm going to pitch something. You know, I want to do a little more I don't know if it's called strip appropriate or, you know, adult appropriate, trying to do that, like beers and body slams, kind of more variety entertainment type of show that I think would be cool on the strip, but it has to be something that's not going to just only draw wrestling fans, because that limits. So if we can combine, and again, what that perfect thing is, whether it's a combination of live entertainment, the wrestling, comedy, skits involved with the wrestling, whether it's when I talk about the Splat Pack or Santana Jackson or, you know, Sideshow Act.
Right.
You know, Midget Mania. You know what I mean? It's like...
Right.
There's so many things that you can do that might attract, you know, a base. The Joe Comedy Hour, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I already have that when we had it with Shakur's place in place to do squared circle wrestling. I mean, squared circle comedy was the name that I had come up with, because we would do the wrestling show the day before or the day after. So the ring would be set up and the comedians would come out and they would perform inside the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
You know, believe me, there's a plan in place to have RVD, who does comedy. Maybe Mania Week when John Morrison's out here. He's always wanting to do comedy. Dolph Ziggler or Nick Nemeth, whatever you want to call him, does comedy. Yeah. A lot of these guys, you know, they do that. Or whether it's a one night with the Nation of Domination, and it's, you know, I'm already friends with, you know, half of the group with D'Lo and Godfather. All we got to do is bring Mark Henry and Ron Simmons, who will be here for Romania. Right. You know, things like that to generate interest from the crowd. And being that those guys are always looking for stuff, whether it's like that Wood Culture Wrestling or it was the Wally Mania or whatever it is, it's like, you know, Joe wants to be that guy. I want to be the guy that's doing the business for that room.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like the popularity has opened the doors to other things over the last 5 or so years. And, you know, now you see so many more of the current and former talent doing more of, you know, one person shows or, you know, these comedy one-offs or even music, you know?
Yeah. You know, it crosses around how many will pack a place. You know, when we did it, it was a nice intimate setting for Kevin because of the fans that he had here. But man, imagine hearing from his words live Mania weekend when there's, you know, 100,000 wrestling fans to possibly deal with instead of, you know, the 2,000 or 5,000 people that know about FSW that are wrestling fans in town. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, that should be a slam dunk, grand slam home run.
Yeah. 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 Speaking about grand slam home runs, Kenny King, G Sharp. Is this the first time that they're doing a one-on-one between the two of them?
They did one at the Silverton, but I'm going to say it might have been 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, G Sharp is at a whole different plane. You know, yep. We had Kenny, who was at the TV class yesterday, and, you know, I had him set up for a promo for it because, you know, Kenny was the first ever FSW heavyweight champion. Yep. I met Kenny. He was showing me the old UWF video when he was 21. Man, he was skinny as fuck. I was like, dang. And
yeah,
I had met Kenny because we did the Vegas Extreme that we were doing in Rush's facility back in the day. So it was probably about about 2000. Kenny says it was about 2001, 2002. So I didn't realize Kenny was probably this 19 or 20 year old kid when he was on Tough Enough because it was right after that. And so I've known Kenny for almost 25 years now. And, you know, Kenny is at a crossroads, you know, for the first time in a very long time. It's been a while. He's not contracted to TNA or Ring of Honor. And, you know, it's probably been 5 or 6 years since Kenny's gotten an FSW heavyweight championship match. And now, you know, as he said, I caught part of the promo, and it's, you know, it's the, he said, you know, it's very respectful, but it's almost like it's, you know, like Kenny's put out the pasture, and it's like, he's only 40, you know, 41 right. or something like that. But because he said he was 21 and it was, so he's about, you know, early 40s, and in wrestling, you know, 50 is the new 35. You know what I'm saying? And look at the top guys, or look at the guys who've come to WWE. 40 is, you know, CM Punk's older. You know, they signed Cobb and they signed Jacob and all these guys are in their mid to late 30s. And that's when they're getting their first breaks in WWE. You know, Kenny's 42, let's just say, and he's been on your TV screen for the last 20-something years. And yeah. People, you know, write off Kenny, and it's like, you know, sometimes you do forget. Like when he came out and he cut that promo at the FSW Arena when the faction were having their issues, it was like, man, he talks, you listen, because yeah. He knows what needs to be said, and you ain't going to find many people with a better promo than Kenny King. And it's like, you know, him and Sharp should be tearing the roof down. This is, you know, Kenny was at the Chippendales for many years. You know, he knows what it's like to perform in major casinos. And now he's getting an opportunity. You know, he used to hang out at Club Ra, which is where the HyperX Arena is now. That used to be the right. Nightclub at the Luxor that, you know, had a wrestling base. And that's where I met like Horace Hogan and Mike Rotundo. And I can't even remember. There were so many other wrestlers there, but those are the two I remember talking to a lot. And yeah. They did, and they used that the club for a taping. It was like a Wednesday or a Thursday. I remember going down there because a couple of the wrestlers used to wrestle for Rush and work for us a little bit, but the Butcher, it was all the Samoan crew and Reno Tafuli and all them. And yeah. You know, they were doing stuff then. That was back when, like, Buffalo Jim was running his stuff. And they rented it. It was, like, for some TV project that never did anything. But it was, like, so wrestling was – it's funny. It's come full circle when I found out, like, oh, shit, really? This is where Club Ra was? What the fuck? And Kenny talks about, you know, hanging out there a lot back in the day when he was the true king of the night.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy that, you know, and then as Kenny posted, you know, this might be his last match in Vegas. So, you know, he's got other things that are, you know, on the burner. So, you know, don't miss out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, outside of that, we do have the 8-man tag team match with, Young Money and Pretty City Express going against Lights, Camera, Faction. And I suppose this is an easy one to say that there will be no resolution at New Year's Resolution for the Faction because, boy, there's a lot going on with that group right now.
Yeah, definitely a lot going on. They even got involved in Future Shock when Damon Ace wrestled Demir Morningstar. So, yeah. You know... That soap opera hasn't reached its conclusion. You know, yeah. I still know, you know, there's the believers in the faction for Demir, and then there's the non-believers, which seem to be Ice and Braxton on the same page on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that should be really interesting. This is great. The title for title match, Sanlu, Jordan Oasis, that's going to be a lot of beef in the ring at one time, man. Two big, you know, strong guys, man. This is wrestling right there.
Yeah, you know, Oasis, he's got the chip on the shoulder, you know, wasn't renewed the contract for the WWE ID program. Came out, wins the No Limits title, breaks my fucking microphone in the ring at the show before. Smashing it down like, what the fuck are you doing, motherfucker? Hey, you know, I went off.
This is the stuff he learned in the WWID program.
I'm like, I could just see you going to Evolve and doing what you did and Gabe not tossing you the fuck out.
Right.
And it's like, we had to get new microphones. I told everybody, thank Jordan Oasis, because that's coming out of his pocket. And it was like, We're checking, but those might have to be returned because I wasn't that happy, you know, a couple times. The mics were kind of not working to my what I feel they should be at. Right. It seemed like, you know, wasn't distorted or anything, but it would be like they would cut out for a brief instant.
yeah, it's good to know that this will be a free match for Jordan Oasis working.
Yeah, and you better not touch the microphones at the fucking HyperX, because if you break that microphone, you're fucking done.
I'm surprised you didn't make it a mic on the pole match, man.
Yeah.
First,
you know, great physical specimens, really great wrestlers.
Oh, no.
You know, not too sure about handing either one of them the microphone.
Oh, no.
Just
Man. This match is something that I think is shaping up to be great. You talk about three women who just keep evolving. Taylor York has come so long in the last couple of years. Fallon Gray is
in a very short time. She's really improved.
Yeah, and Zamaya, man, you talk about all the potential. You know, she just keeps living up to that growth. Man, that's the lucky thing right now is you get to take, you know, look where you were 6 years ago, 5 years ago, where it was hard to find those pieces for the women.
It was Maserati and Potluck.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's just like,
it's wow. Like, I don't have my women's champion, but we're fine for this show without her. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not there. But we basically lost. We didn't lose Brittany, obviously. She's just not at the show. But Gypsy Mac ran. Gypsy and Brittany were the two mainstays of the women's division.
Yep.
Yet we haven't missed a beat. And Gypsy's out for a few months.
Yep.
And Brittany's not making this show. And we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's spectacular to see.
And Maserati will be on the show with Remy. We still haven't gotten, there's no Doomfly. So we're still looking for that intergender tag match, which is the final match on the show. That it will be a pre-show, but yeah. And then we got the tag team titles on the line.
Yeah. Which again, it's wonderful to see how far the Mariachis have come. But man, the Suavecitos, you can't say enough about the maturity of them as a tag team now and just clicking, man. And then, you know, like you said, having a third Suavecita, you know, in the mix as well.
Yeah. Adrian Quest, it's probably been a couple of years since we've seen him in an FSW ring.
Yeah. Which, you know, and Adrian Quest, man, that's another guy who was fairly seasoned, you know, a few years ago when he kind of started working them in, you know, at least a little more seasoned than they were. And, you know, you just look at the growth when they started working together in California. Just it's unreal how the opportunities, again, when you take those opportunities and you build up, it's great.
You know, I'm going to say no disrespect to Adrian Quest. When they came in, Adrian Quest was here. Suavecitos were here.
Yeah.
Now, if you look and you say Suavecitos and Adrian Quest, I think the Suavecitos have exceeded Adrian Quest. And Adrian Quest is a guy who's worked New Japan shows. So, again, it's no slight on Adrian Quest. It's just the growth of the Suavecitos has been crazy over a couple of years.
Yeah, so, and it really shows too. Again, tag team wrestling, they have the understanding now of how that works. You know, it's like a comedian or a band getting a feel, right? It takes time to develop that rhythm and find out not only how to interact with each other, but then how to use what is around you to get the results you need to get. They just know.
That's what happens when you see the careers of a one-hit wonder. And now it's like, okay, what happens after that one hit? You know, you spent your whole life, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, getting that one killer song that got you the record deal, what are you following it up with?
Right.
You've heard I've heard groups that I'm like, oh, unbelievable. And you cannot even name. And I've been a DJ my whole life. So, I'm one of the few. If you had a pretty good second song or second album, I'm probably aware of it,
Right.
But you have the certain bands, with the Buggles, Video Killed a Radio Star or whatever.
Right.
You couldn't name one other song they ever did.
Right. Yep.
And then there's the longevity of bands that they're playing today. Yeah. And it's 20, 30, 40 years later. I saw, and it's like crazy, 90% of the band isn't even anybody who ever was in the band, like Foreigner. Like, they don't have anybody who's an original. No, they're bringing Lou Gramm back, I guess, for some shows.
To
sing. And now I hear the guy from Journey, Ariel's out. And the old drummer is back now as the lead singer. And it's like, ugh, give it up already.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we just saw that with Bob Weir passing. There are only two now members of the Grateful Dead and one living founding member of the Grateful Dead. And that's 60 years. They were playing up until,
like Leonard Skinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody exist? I think in that band?
I think there's one. I think there's one.
I don't think there is anymore. I think he died. It's like I'm going to see the Goo Goo Dolls, And it's the singer and the guitar player and the two guys who write everything together. So the rest of the band, nobody gives a fuck about.
Right.
But I don't want to go see Queensryche and not see Jeff Tate singing the song.
Right. Right.
I'll just go see Jeff Tate. Right. I don't want to see Skid Row because Sebastian Bach isn't there. I'd rather just go see Sebastian Bach because those guys can play the guitar parts.
You know what? I got to say, though, Skid Row was pretty damn good with their new singer. Oh,
probably. I see Quiet Riot's playing at, Golden Nugget. And for a while, Dubrow left, and then Paul Shortino took over, who was the singer of a group called Rough Cut. And then Dubrow came back, and then he passed away. And now there's, the fourth singer. And it's just like, it's weird to me. It's like, that's why you go to see Sammy Hagar and he put the best of both worlds. Dude, you're singing the same five Sammy Hagar songs from Van Halen. You didn't open up the Van Halen playbook because you're not doing the David Lee Roth songs. You're doing one and Michael Anthony sings it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I want to go see the band, but I want to see the singer because that's the voice, regardless. Right. If it's a different drummer, that's why go see Bon Jovi, but Richie Sambora leads the band. Well, where the fuck's John Bon Jovi?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's why you can't go wrong with Spinal Tap, because it doesn't matter who the drummer is. At least you got the original three out in front.
At least, I was not a fan of that, to be honest with you.
I did not
dig Spinal Tap.
Joe.
I just see Christopher Guest, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the guy married to Jamie Lee Curtis. That's all I think of him. And he was, like, shitty on Saturday Night Live back in the day.
Oh, like, no, come on.
Was not a Christopher Guest fan. I don't think he was that funny. Now, Lenny from Lenny and Squiggy, I like him. But now he's become, like, a really serious actor. He's not like that goofy guy that he was. Kind of like when Tom Hanks, I remember him from Bosom Buddies as that funny dude, And then goofy and everything. But then he became like this most serious actor.
Well, hopefully when we talk about serious versus goofy, we don't see any goofiness in this one, because Bodie's got a lot going on here with Luke Curtis. And I think, amazingly enough, I think Luke has more to prove in that match than anyone.
Yeah, for sure. Luke's been around a long time. A lot of people weren't aware of him because he didn't live in Vegas. But he's the epitome of the indie hustle grind.
Yeah.
You know, was in OVW, did the New Japan Dojo, you know, trying to get notice. And since he's even been here, you know, gotten opportunities to be on the NWA shows, you know.
Yeah.
He's a solid guy. It's like he's the guy that when AEW or TNA in town, you know, he's someone that they should look at for sure.
Right.
You know, some people don't get it. And it's like, yeah, he's just not some new cat who jumped over everybody. He's a seasoned wrestler and a great asset. And, you know, he's the underling to his girl who's signed in AEW. And she's tremendous. Yeah. So it's like, man, you want to talk like right there. That could be the top end of the intergender tag team right there.
Sure. Luke
Curtis and Layla Gray. You know, sure. That's the pecking order that you got to get. You beat them, you've accomplished something. And, right. You know, since Luke's been here, he never had been pinned until he got pinned by Bodie.
Right. Yeah.
Which so,
I'm sure is still not setting very well with him. So
no, you know, you could see him on the, you know, Facebook, social media. He's made his presence felt. You know, he understands the value of getting out there to the masses, making yourself have value. You know, again, I had to go nuts. It's like, so I had to make a post, and it's like, for the 9 millionth time, FSW is renting out arenas and venues for people who want to wrestle for their companies to wrestle. Oh, hey, bro, I was going to see if I can get on one of the shows you're doing. It's like, okay, for the 9 millionth time, we are not doing the shows. Okay, we're going to do shows, but we're doing one with the WWID, and it's going to be their talent mixed in with whatever Gabe needs from our end.
Right.
My top guys will get that opportunity. Last year, Brittany Brooks, Maserati, and Bodie got to be on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's very fond of them.
Yeah.
And then if we do something with Richard Holiday, it's going to be more of a Mecca show. And it's like, no offense, guys, but if I'm the local company and I happen to be running some shows, I don't even know who the fuck you guys are.
Right.
You know, don't use my name. Oh, can you? And then, which is way worse. I get it. You're trying to get booked. And then you get 9 million Facebook posts of, hey, I'm available. Yeah, no shit. You're all fucking available. But then you guys are so fucking lazy. Oh, can you let me know who's running and who the contacts are? Dude, I don't even know who you are until I got a message from you fucking 30 seconds ago. No, right. I can't. It's your job. When the flyer comes out that you will see, it'll show the companies that are there. Because if I do give you this information, you're going to say, I talked with Joe at FSW. And and it isn't anything other than, oh, he told me to hit you up about bookings. No, motherfucker. That's not how it works, you slime ball. Do the fucking work.
Right.
How about not what's the information? Like, most of these guys don't send a link. They don't send a resume. They don't send shit. They just say, hey, or, oh, I talked with Sin Bodie. And Sin, please stop telling everybody to come to me about bookings. There are no bookings.
Of course.
You know, it's like.
You think Sin does that just kind of get in your crawl a little bit.
You know, we did the Future Legend Women's Tournament, and we used Brittany, and we used a few of our girls that were under 25. Same thing with the Future Legends Men's Tournament. You know, the chief always makes, what is he talking about? He always gets on the show. He always gets on the screen.
I think Chief wants to be in the Future Legends tournament.
There you go. You know, and it's like, man, put in the work. It's like, yes. Number one, when CCW Coastal Wrestling at a Florida Gangrel's company comes out to do a show, there might be two spots, maybe, because the idea is to showcase their company. So right. If they use all of you guys because you came into town, then it ain't their company that they're showcasing.
Right.
You know, exactly. And it's like the way I book people, if Jimmy House, who now just got a tryout with WWE, because he hits me up because of Hammerstone and he hits me up because of Class, and they say, and Remy works with them and says, oh, this guy's the real deal. Did I look at Jimmy House's footage? Fuck no. I booked Jimmy House on the show and he wrestled Luke Curtis in a really good match.
Yeah. Yep.
And unfortunately, we tried to get Jimmy House. He was going to do the New Year's show, but something came up and he wasn't able to. But he came from Dustin Rhodes' school and he's in Texas. So now he's being utilized by Reality of Wrestling.
Yep.
And it's like, and now he's gotten a tryout. And it's like, that's what Future Stars of Wrestling is about. Some guy that you guys never heard of that without a doubt looks the part for sure.
Hey, look, Culture Inc. You got Eli Knight.
Eli Knight. NXT. Now we got, not only has he jumped the ID program, he's now an NXT talent.
Yeah.
So he was, I'm pretty certain, on the Future Legends tournament.
I think so.
A couple years ago, the men's tournament.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's what we're about. Not some guy who thinks he's coming to Vegas and he wants to get on a show. It's like, yeah, y'all want to get on a show.
Right.
Like, what value do you have? Why do I put you on my show? What sets you apart from the other 7,204 wrestlers that are coming to Vegas that weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's all, you know, going to be coming so quickly. Again, the biggest thing happening is Saturday, January 24th, right now at 7 p.m. at the HyperX Arena.
The biggest show in FSW history. And it's not the biggest wrestling show in FSW history. It's the most, I guess that isn't the right wording. I guess the right wording would be, this is the most important show in FSW history.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes it the biggest show in FSW history. Because we need to make sure that we don't miss a beat. We got to produce, and it isn't because we had X amount of people, because there will be more people who have went to the show we just did, Luck of the Draw with Cross, or the Chris Bay benefit show. This one doesn't fit enough for those people to even go in there. But this is important because this is a history-making experience. This is, you know, 16, 17 years of hard work getting lucky enough to get this experience of having a residency on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if we can pull this off with the talent we have that I've boasted for years, you know, find better independent wrestling talent than we got.
Right.
I don't believe you. We're the pinnacle. We're the pinnacle in this town. We're the ones who are going to always make that move.
Yeah.
Because we're going to put the work in. This is 24/7 for me, 365.
Yep.
And, you know, running a show and, you know, see the, whether it's the charter schools and doing the benefits and running the stuff, you know, waiting to run a show where you don't have to put out any money because somebody's going to give it to you. That's great. But, you know, we can sit in the weeds and wait, but we're proactive And that's why our guys get work. And that's why they get to get to be on multiple shows. Jaden Cole makes his debut in PCW in Arizona this weekend because I made the call. Yep. He didn't make the call. You know, how many wrestling schools are out there and the guy who runs it is calling some other promotion and saying, hey, I got a guy that I would really appreciate you using.
Yeah.
And there's some.
Yeah.
You know, but generally it's usually the talent, you know. Like Dom hit me up last week. He was looking for, you know, a younger ref for a show, you know. But it's like usually it's going to be his mainstays, which are the Class and the Reno Now and Weather and Hammerstone. And they're the ones who are going to put that stamp of approval. You want to get booked WrestleMania weekend? Get somebody who's worth the shit, put that stamp of approval on you.
Right. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Because any smart promoter will go when, you know, I see Danny Limelight post a lot of times on Facebook about it. Hey, yeah. I just wrote this show. Man, this kid's the real deal.
Yep.
You know, when you can impress a veteran who does a lot of big things.
Yep. Absolutely.
That means way more than any highlight video you're going to send me. Because again, what are you going to do? You're going to send me a 1 minute video and you're going to find the coolest move you did successfully because you could have did it 8 times and fucked it up 6.
Right.
So does that make you good because you did this super cool, hey, Spanish fly and you fucked it up 6 out of 8 times? But the one you're going to show me is going to be like, oh, wow, this was fucking great because you hit it the one time in practice. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like that's why a lot of people say, hey, send full matches because you can watch how you really work.
Yeah, of course.
You know, people like to send that little short entrance video type thing.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of guys, man, that I've seen like, oh, shit. And then it's like.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't get booked by it.
Right. Yep. Yeah. There's so much more that goes into it.
Show up. You know, we did, there was these two kids out of Texas and their father owns the company that did a couple of the Lucha shows at the Silver Nugget.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, Remy put over the company, you know, him, the Suavecitos, I think Ricky Tenacious. I think about 5 or 6 of their guys worked. Our guys worked their show.
Yeah.
So the younger kids hit me up. They wanted to come to Vegas and train. And they, you know, I gave them a good deal. Two of them came in. They paid for the month. They rented an Airbnb. They had a third kid come in. So he only stayed for about a week or whatever. Everybody liked them. We ended up putting them on a match at Future Shock. Young kids, probably like 20. If that much. And he hit me up the other day asking about for his dad maybe looking to do a Lucha Libre show for Mania Week. And, hey, you know, if there's any opportunities, you know, I told him the same thing. I'm like, yeah, you know, I get it. But we're renting out the place. Like, they were in town last time. So they hung out with the people they knew from the Texas Wrestling Cartel. So I actually saw them and talked with them a little bit backstage then. So literally after Mania, probably about 4 months ago, that's when they came in and they paid for the month. They did the thing. He hits me up. They're looking into maybe doing a Thursday afternoon show at the Luxor. Okay. If we can make it happen, or even at the FSW. And then he asked me about the shows and he's like, well, you know, maybe even a Future Shock. So I'm like, well, we got one the 31st of January. It's like, if you want to drive out here like they did then, they're already booked on the show. They're like, oh, how many guys can we bring? I'm like, you know what? Since you're driving out there and we know you know full well what the pay is going to be. It ain't like you're making anything out of it. So they're going to drive from like San Antonio and with a carload of 4 just to get on the show face. Like, I actually needed some help at my house when we were doing stuff with the garage, and a lot of the shit was outside. And more so than a lot of my students, they're the ones who came to my fucking house and helped me.
Yeah, sure.
So now when you say you're going to come out here, and they did a good job as it is, and people all liked them and made friends, like, you're going to drive out from San Antonio for the 31st, of course you're getting a match.
Yeah,
because they put in the effort, they put in the work, they showed value to me on how hungry they are. And now, you know, it could be easy. Yeah, my dad runs the promotion in San Antonio. Wasn't asking for any handouts, you know.
Right.
He earned his way into the system. You know, Remy was asking me about something yesterday, so I messaged him. I'm like, hey, those guys from Texas, they're coming. Oh, I love those dudes, man. Exactly. So when you're impressing people, man, that's how you get out there, you know, instead of just doing the bare minimum. You know, you can pay to train.
Yeah.
You could be good at training. You could come the average amount of times to train. You can have pretty decent matches, but you're never going to get to being a must-have guy. I got to have you on the show. Regardless of everything, man, it's hard for a younger kid to break that ceiling because there's so much good talent. You know, right. When Danny Limelight's trying to get on the, you know, show at the Silver Knights game, it's like, dude, there's only two matches, bro. You know what I mean? This isn't a full show. You know, he's thinking, hey, we're going to be in this big arena. It's like, we're in the atrium. It's like, this is more for exposure than anything else. Not that he wouldn't do it, but it's like, I don't need you to come out for that. I'll, you know, we'll use our guys. I said, but in the situation comes, like, he's booked for the one in San Diego. But if we do that full-blown Rumble type thing, that's another opportunity that'll come his way.
Right, yeah.
Because he's willing to work. You know, obviously he's putting the 2026 retirement tour on hold.
We'll see. We'll see how many times his boots end up in the middle of the ring at FSW over the next 5 years.
There you go.
Once a year, maybe. So, all right. Well, we're ready to wrap up here. Final thoughts before we say goodbye.
You know, we're just 9 days away. Front row sold out. We're starting to move on those second rows. We got tabletops. We got VIP suites. You know, we got it's like going to a WWE event. You know what I mean? It's like it's going to be top-notch guys. You're going to have a great show. You're going to have a great venue, you know, a scaled down version. Prices are definitely way cheaper than everybody screaming about pricing for WWE these days. It's like, man, as I was told for the, I believe it was, whatever, was it the Silver Knights? No, Cashman Field for the Aviators. You want to rent a suite, it's $3,000. $3,000, and it didn't include food.
Yeah.
You can rent our big VIP suite for $1,000, and we're including food. You know, I say seats 12. You can really put 15 in there. So you're going to get food. You can sit 15 people. That basically breaks down to $60 a person, and it includes food and drink. So hit me up if you want those tickets. Great view overlooking the arena. You're going to get a shout out from the announcers. You could put your banner right in front of the VIPs, you know, in front of the suite. Man, you know, it's a great deal. You know, that once we become a regular over there, you know, prices are going to go up for sure.
Right.
You know, this is a steal at a grand.
Yeah.
Then you got the smaller suites for like 800 that include food and the tabletops outside. That way you can get, you know, the bird's eye view. Man, those might be the best seat in the house, and they're cheaper than front row.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, like I said, most important show in FSW history. You know, our longtime fans who've been with us through thick and thin, and normally not very thin, you know. Might have been a couple of, you know, shit shows in the past, but very, very infrequently. So you know what you're going to get. We got the best of the best on hand, surprises on hand. So, you know, we might get some celebrity appearances from some of our alumni who live in Vegas, who, you know, might be hanging around. You might be able to play a video game with them, might be able to get a picture with them. Yeah. So, you know. You know, we're looking as this is the start of a very fruitful partnership. And not a relationship. This is a partnership. These guys are going out of their way more so than anybody that we've dealt with in the past.
There we go. Excellent. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in and hanging out. And until next time, everyone, happy wrestling. And, man. Coming up January 24th is right around the corner. So get your tickets now.
Now.